Good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together again. And wow, we got a number of youth here tonight. Wonder how much horsepower we have up here, you think? How much energy? How much do we have? And, you know, being young is a wonderful time of life. And a while back, my wife and I was at a youth rally, and we were kind of chuckling behind the scenes because we said, well, we're married, and we can kind of come, and we're just all relaxed. But, you know, the youth kind of come, and they're a little bit, you know, shy, and, we're, you know, and all this and that. But that's okay. I'm glad that you're here tonight, and I trust that you can have time, and as we look into God's Word, and enjoy your youth, live for the Lord. It's a wonderful time of life. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you deceived? I don't see any hands. That's good, because if you are here tonight and you are deceived, you don't know it. Okay? If you're here tonight and you're deceived, you think that you know the truth, and you think that you're right, but actually you are wrong. Now, being deceived is something that we often, you know, think of as way out there, or you know. I remember as a young child, how many of you remember Jim Jones? He had a whole group of people that he deceived into drinking poison, and they died. You know, and deception is real, and so tonight, the best way to counteract deception is to love truth. All right? So when I love truth, it is something that helps me not to be deceived. And as I think about loving truth, how precious is truth to us tonight? What would you give for truth if you had to give something? What would you give for truth tonight? Would you give everything? Would you give a little? How valuable is truth to you tonight? Well, I want to challenge you that in my own life, truth to me is total value. Because if I don't have truth, I don't have anything, all right, when it comes to the end of this life. You know, it doesn't matter whether I thought I was right or I thought I was wrong. What matters is if I was right or if I was wrong. That's what matters, you know. And so truth is very, very important. And we're going to illustrate this out a little bit tonight. But take your Bibles and let's look at a few verses. Turn to Psalms. And in Psalms, David writes here in chapter 34. Turn to Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8. And I want to challenge us as whatever age we are tonight that these verses are for us. David says in Psalms 34, verse 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Turn to Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2. We sing this song, and we sing this song as a praise song, and there's nothing wrong. I appreciate this song. But I think we sing it often, and that's really not what our life is. Okay? But it says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Now let's look at a few other verses in Psalm 63 that talks about the goodness of God and tasting of the good things of God. Psalm 63, begin reading at verse 1. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. All right? So David is writing here in several different psalms, and he's saying how he is trusting in the Lord, and he is satisfied in the things of God. And tonight we want to talk a little bit about the importance of feeding on truth. A while back, I'm not even for sure exactly why I asked this question, but I asked a group of people. I said, how much do you think is on social media is truth? I said, what percentage do you think that would be? And the percentage that they came back with was lower than I thought. I was thinking like 30, 40%, you know? They said 10%. Now, I don't know that that's correct, but that was their opinion. I was at a minister's meeting, and I'm not here to talk on social media tonight, okay? We're talking on truth. But I'm just, it came to my mind as I was thinking about truth, and I was at a minister's meeting, I was speaking, and I said that statement, and afterwards, one of the young men, I mean, he was a younger minister, probably in his early 30s maybe, he came up to me and he said, with the job and things that I have, he said, I'm involved, I'm really techie, I'm involved with a lot of tech things and all this and that, and he said, 10% is too high. He said, it's probably more like about 1% that you can know for sure is true. Now, he said, that's a vast amount because of everything that's on there, but it just made me think, you know, so how do we know what truth is? Okay? We had a young man that was attending our congregation. He had moved in from another area, and we were just getting to know him some and things, and you probably heard of Rodney Swaggart. Don't ask me any questions about that, okay? I'm not saying that, because I mean I'm not going to say anything about that situation besides what I say right up here tonight. But I want to use this as an illustration. There was all kinds of things flying around, all kinds of stories. Some may have been true, some may not have been. But an interesting thought. One of the officers asked this question. He said, do all Mennonites gossip this much? That's what he said. Do all Mennonites gossip this much? Would you say yes? Would you say no? Somebody's saying yes over here. But, you know, so what is truth, and you know, can I know that I have truth? And I want to challenge us with the thought tonight that we can know truth. Okay, turn to John chapter 8, and verses 31 and 32. All right, John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall what? Say it. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We live in a time where we are being bombarded with things that are not total truth. Is there a half-truth? Why does God, I thought about this a while ago when I was doing some meditating, I thought, why does God hate dishonesty so much? You know, why would he say that if we tell a lie, we're not going to make it to glory unless we make that right? Why would it be that strong? You know, why would it be that that he hates it when the truth is twisted just a little bit. You know, I think God almost hates it more when we implant truth with dishonesty and it makes it difficult for people to understand. I think he hates that as much or more than when it's just a blatant lie. And as I studied that out, I thought, well, the reason why God hates it so much is because Satan is the father of lies. And so he hates truth. Have you ever thought of this? Truth cannot lie. Truth is truth. It can't lie. If the Bible says that God cannot lie, the reason why he cannot lie is because truth cannot lie. Truth is truth. How something happened is how something happened. It doesn't matter how I say it. It doesn't matter how somebody else says it. Truth is truth. And it will always be truth. One night there was a young man that was walking down the road in our area. And somebody picked him up and they brought him to our house and dropped him off. I didn't know who this young man was. And he told me, he said, I'm running away from home. I said, well, we're going to do one of two things. I said, either we're going to call your dad or we're going to call the police. Because I can't house you here if you're a runaway and all this and that. I had something down that line I told him. And so anyhow, it ended up being that we called his dad, but I can't recall. I think he thought it might have been good if the police come out too. I'm not for sure how that all was. But anyhow, his father came, and the police also came. And his father made a very interesting statement. You know, his son had a story, the father had a story, but before the police officer came, the father made a very interesting statement. He said, there's his side of the story, and then there's my side of the story. And then he said, then there's the truth. That's what he said. He said, there's my side, his side, and the truth. So, you know, whatever happened there, it didn't matter what they said, it didn't change the fact of truth. So truth never lies. It cannot lie because it's truth. Now, the only thing that I know tonight that is absolute truth is the Word of God. That is the only thing tonight that I know that is absolute truth. I can't guarantee you that any book that you read is absolute truth. I can't guarantee you that anything other than the Word of God that you read on social media, I can't guarantee you that that's truth. Anything that you read in history books or what somebody tells you, it doesn't mean it's truth. Now, I'm not saying we should go around and feel like everybody's lying to us, but we only know for sure that this is absolute truth, okay? And it's kind of interesting. Sometimes little children are pretty honest, aren't they? I mean, if you want to know the truth, if you can ask a little child, he'll pretty well tell you what the truth is. He'll tell you what Mom and Dad said about you before they got to church or whatever. I just jokingly say sometimes, I don't really ask them, sometimes when they're with their parents, I'll say, you know, what does your mom and dad say about Terry? You know, I just kiddingly, I don't actually take them aside and have them tell me that, you know. But children would be honest. Well, I want to challenge us here tonight as a congregation that when it comes to truth, I want to, by the grace of God, be willing to die for truth, to know truth. I want to pursue it with all my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. There's nothing more precious in this life than truth. All right? So I wanna tell you a little bit of what is happening today in our society with this illustration here. Because there is in our society a very strong movement of what is truth. In our churches, there's a big movement. What is truth? I mean, are we just doing these things because Grandpa and Grandma did them? Are we just doing these things because whatever? What is truth? There's a phenomenal movement. Pilate asked Christ that. He said, what is truth? Well, he had truth standing right in front of him, but he didn't know that. But so that's the question today is what is truth? All right? So I come to the Lord and I get saved, all right? And so I sat down at the Lord's table here, and I am enjoying the things of God. Okay? I mean, I'm reading, and I'm just thrilled that I'm saved. I mean, and I'm enjoying the things of God, and I'm feeding on them. And, you know, the good things of God, you know, we have raisins and nuts and some good bread and an apple. You know, water. I mean, good old water. It's just hard to beat water. And, you know, bread don't really have nothing on it. Bagel, whatever. Doesn't really have nothing on it, but I enjoy it. You want a bite? No. But, you know, I just enjoy the things of God. And they're precious to me. And I enjoy, you know, when I go to Bible school and I get truth, and I just enjoy it. And I'm drinking from the living water. And I just enjoy it. You know, I don't really understand why anybody would want anything but truth. Okay? Well, time goes on, and maybe a few years passes, and, you know, I mean, this don't have to happen, but sometimes it happens, that maybe we become just a little lax. And we're not turning to truth. We're not turning to God's Word like we was at one time. I mean, yeah, it's still important, but we started to read a lot of books and listen to a lot of things, and boy, I don't know. I mean, does the Bible say that? You know, is that what that really means? And so over here we have untruth, okay? Or lies. I don't think there is a half-truth. I think it's either truth or it's a lie. So we can't say half-truths because there isn't half-truths. But over here is things that we don't know, you know. Now, we know that these things are here, but, well, let me say this verse. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Okay, so that means happy is the young person, happy is the middle-aged person, happy is the old person who feeds on the good things of God and they hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, when I am feeding on truth, I have an appetite for truth. Does that make sense? When I am feeding on truth, I have an appetite for truth. And so while I'm feeding on this truth, it really takes away my appetite for that table over there that isn't truth. Now, I know that's there, and sometimes in my flesh, I'm tempted to go over here and look at it and consider it, and to be honest with you, sometimes it looks kind of good. Does that look good to you? Sure. Looks good to me. But you know, that table is on truth, so... Well, a few years go on, and, you know, I appreciate truth, but that table over there is starting to look a little more appealing to me. You know, but, oh, no, that's right, I want to make it to heaven. And so I don't want to go there. I want to encourage us tonight. Don't ever make decisions based on the fact of whether I can make it to heaven or not doing that. That's a very poor way to make decisions. You make decisions based on the fact, is that what God would desire for me to do, okay? People walk themselves right into hell because they make all these decisions that, well, I think I can do that and still make heaven, and I think I can do that and still make heaven. whatever happened to understanding the love of God that we want to do all that we can for God? Does that make sense? Okay? So as I am here and I'm feeding on the good things of God, I kind of have lost my appetite. Mothers, tonight, when Billy comes in, and you normally have supper at 5:15 and it's 4:30, and he says, "Can I have a candy bar?" What do you say? Or what should you say? If it's your grandchild, it's probably a little harder to say what you should say. Okay? But what should you say? Just say it. Well, why? Why can't he have a candy bar at 4:30? Huh? Alrighty. So he's hungry for supper because we say, "Billy, you can't have a candy bar right now because if you eat a candy bar right now, you won't be hungry for supper." Okay? So that's kind of how it works with truth and with lies. When I'm feeding myself on truth, I don't have much of an appetite for lies. But when I become lax a little bit and I start dabbling with, I'm not saying that it's all truth, but, it's pretty good. So I kind of start walking away from the table of truth over here, and I start looking into just a little bit of, and I start thinking, I'm a pastor, and it would be kind of good if I knew what some of the lies and things were, right? So that I know what to preach. You don't have to know what lies are. You have to know what truth is. Okay? Because if you know what truth is, then you'll know what a lie is. Or, maybe I need to check in and watch some of that stuff so that I know what people are doing today, so that I can preach on that and I encourage, and we start thinking, that kind of looks good, and, I want to make it to heaven, so I kind of come back over here. But I've been noticing that my appetite for these things, they're okay. I don't mind a bagel without anything on it. That it would be kind of nice if it had some jam or something, just a little something on it. Anyhow, I've just been noticing that I've just been kind of starting to like this table over here a little more. It's just a little more relaxed, over here it's like, I just kind of feel like I'm really got to be straight-laced, and it's just truth, and it's God's word, I'm okay with that, but, I start to, maybe this isn't so bad. Let's see here. Did you ever read what's in Mountain Dew? You're going to be surprised, okay? Because I got a catch for you that will make it all right for me to drink Mountain Dew, okay? Listen to this. Carbonated water. Water. Think of all the water that's in there. High fructose corn syrup. Here's what I like. The third one. Concentrated orange juice. Right here. And so you know what? I decide that, I have to wade through a lot of unbelief and lies to get through it, but my body needs orange juice. And so for breakfast, I have to drink the 2-liter of Mountain Dew to get a little glass of juice, but I'm okay with that because, I just love it when I drink Mountain Dew because I just feel that orange juice going into my body. It's so good. I have to drink all the other stuff with it, but it's just that orange juice. I just love that orange juice taste in there, And so that's how we start to think when it comes to truth. Now, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, yeah, I mean, I like the stuff on this table, and I mean, I have a lot of appreciation for people that feed on this stuff, you know, but you have to catch this as I'm going through this, please, as sarcasm. I kind of like the people and what they stand for here, and they love the Word of God and things, but, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say they're not saved, you know, but, I mean, man, it's just a little bit blah, you know? I mean, and so I don't stop. I just kind of keep going back over to this table. And I keep focusing on the fact that I need orange juice. You know, I need orange juice. So I keep drinking my Mountain Dew because I need orange juice for my body. I need that vitamin C. And so I'm willing to intake all of the other garbage in order so that I can get my vitamin C. And now I know that that isn't right, and so this goes on for a few years, okay? And after a while, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, okay? That means whether you're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Holiness or Anabaptist, whatever, okay? If you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways. That's what the Bible says, okay? And I realize that, you know, there's something in my life that I'm restless about. It used to be that things were black and white, but now there's kind of this gray, and it's just like, how do I know what truth is? And I'm back and forth, and you know, I'm getting kind of weary because I'm back and forth between these tables and back and forth and back and forth. And so I get a brilliant idea. You know, if the tables weren't so far apart, I wouldn't get so tired. So I decide that, well, let's move the lies a little closer, okay? I mean, we got to be careful, of course. We've got to moderate this. You know, but let's move these a little closer there. And you know, for a few years, that kind of works pretty good. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I don't want truth. It's just that my appetite for truth isn't, you know, as strong as it used to be. And kind of really grown in my Christian walk, you know, in the last few years. It used to be that it bothered me to hang out at this table, but now that I've grown, it really, please hear the sarcasm in this, but now that I've grown, this table don't bother me so much anymore. I just wish more people could understand that in fact, I have grown to the point that, you know, I don't mind just sitting down at the table once in a while. I mean, I would have never done this before, but now that my walk's so much deeper in things with the Lord, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Yep, there's orange juice in there. Sodium, salt's good for you. I really don't know what people are so up in the air about this. I mean, it has water, orange juice. I mean, yeah, there's some things in there that aren't truth, but, you know, it's 2018. I mean, you know, and, I mean, if we're just going to stand for truth, who are we going to have? I mean, and so I become content with feeding from this table. You know, one thing I've been noticing, well, I don't even notice it, but one thing that's been happening is that since I have been feeding from this table, I'm not very hungry for that table. What would you rather have? Peanuts in a Snicker bar or just dried peanuts? Come on, be honest. I mean, Wow. See, the one thing that the world does not get is that when I join the kingdom of God, it begins with sorrow, okay? Because the Bible says unless we deny ourselves and die with a godly sorrow, we can't enter. So when I enter the kingdom of heaven, I begin with sorrow, with a godly sorrow, but then it turns into joy. And what does the Bible say? As I walk with God, it becomes joy unspeakable and full of glory. But you see, when I enter the world's kingdom, it begins with joy. And then it just goes downhill from there. And it ends in what? Destruction. Never forget that. When I enter God's kingdom, it begins with brokenness and sorrow for my sin and a repentance. And then after that, it just gets better, 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 until it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But when I live for myself, oh, at first it's fun. You know, I think it's a lie to tell people that sin isn't fun for a while. I think that's a lie. Sin for a while is fun, but never forget that sin brings death. Okay? Sin for a while can be fun, but it always brings death. Always. And so, as I'm at this table, it used to bother me more that there was some things about this that wasn't, but I've gotten more used to it. And you know, now, you know, the type of stuff that's in here now, people's just grown up with it, so they're just used to it. It's okay. It used to be wrong. People would gasp at it, but we've just grown up with it now, and so it's no big deal. We're just used to it, you know? I mean, so there's homosexuality and divorce, remarried. I mean, we're just kind of grown up with it, and you know, I mean, yeah, it's not best, but, I mean, it's just kind of how society is, and sin's, you know, just how it is. I mean, you know, what are we going to do about it? And so this goes on for a while, but then I start feeling a little bit guilty, and I think, boy, what would I be in right standing with the Lord if the Lord came back? But, you know, well, I'll go back over here, and I'll feed on a few things, but I'm constantly drawn over here. You know, one of the things when I was feeding from this table, I had purpose in my heart that that I wouldn't watch anything that was sensual or sinful. But since I've gotten over here, I've kind of changed my view on that a little bit. You know, when those scenes come up, we just kind of fast forward it a little bit, you know. Once in a while, we don't quite get a fast forward in time. But, you know, I mean, it's just the time that we live in, you know, and you know, I mean, I don't go to the movies. I just watch it at home, you know. I mean, we're good. You know, and wow. Blessed is he that hungereth and thirsts after righteousness. I don't know. I don't know what that verse means anymore. I mean, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, I mean, the things of God are just sort of like a mystery to me. It's like, I don't know, 10 years ago, things was just so much more clear. And now it's just this, everything's so jumbled up. And I think it's just the times that we live in. I mean, blessed is he that hungereth and thirsts after righteousness. I don't know very many people that double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. I mean, what? Well, so this goes on for another few years in my life. And yeah, I'm feeding less from this table, but, you know, I mean, I still want to feed from it. And, you know, and I drink a little water once in a while. And but, you know, after a few years, I'm kind of getting tired again. And I get another brilliant idea. You know, the reason why I'm so tired is that the tables are too far apart. So, I'm going to move the table again here and bring it over. Now, we can't, I mean, listen, we can never bring these two tables together, okay? Truth is truth. We can never change truth. Truth is truth. Amen? You know, and and another thing that I've been noticing is since I have been letting go of truth, I tell you what, I just have a testimony for God like I've never had before. I mean, I get excited, you know. You know? Well, I tell you what, you can be excited for God and have a testimony living truth, okay? That's the only way you can have excitement and a true testimony for God. I tell you, having a family that's serving after God with righteousness is a blast. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Right? Amen. Oh, there's trials. But I tell you what, there's no better life. Well, time's going on and we're getting down the road here a little bit. And you know, times are changing, you know. Used to be that if you had this or that, you really questioned if you were saved or not, but we're living in the day of grace now. And, you know, it's just kind of every man for his own. You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's a very good verse, but we often misunderstand what that means. Well, so we continue on, and we want truth. I mean, we still believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, can you believe that somebody would actually not believe that? I mean, it's just, where is this world going to? I mean, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Boy, I tell you, there are my neighbors, they are unstable in their ways. That church down the road, they are unstable. You know, I mean, they have so many idols and gods in their lives. It's unreal. You know, they have some things in their life that they can't go without. Do you? Yes means yes, this means no. No, you don't have to do that. But so we start to compare ourselves to others now. And see, we used to compare ourselves to truth. But once we started moving away from truth and coming over here to the lie side, we started feeling uncomfortable with that because when we started comparing ourselves to the Word of God, we wasn't lining up. So we kind of, God, Jesus is the only way. That's right, Jesus is the only way. But we've kind of, the Bible's truth, but it just kind of depends some on how you look at all of it. Okay? And so I find it easier to, we wouldn't say this, but I find it easier to compare myself with others to see where I'm really at. See, I mean, because when I compare myself to the Word of God, I get a little restless. And I've even looked at it in several different versions, and it still makes me restless. Don't get me wrong. Jesus is my all in all, and I'd be willing to do anything for Jesus, except for if I don't want to do it. And I go to church and I teach Sunday school and I haven't missed the communion in, I don't know, man, 30 years. But you know, I've been finding out that I used to sit at this table, but you know, time has gotten busy. God's really blessed me, and I'm so busy with the things of this world that I don't really have as much time for his things. That's how much God's blessed me, that I'm so busy with the things of this world that God's blessing me with that I don't have as much time to read and pray anymore. But that's okay, because, you know, God's blessing us. So I find myself setting a little more at this table, and, you know, I... I like how kind of, you know, we can get truth out of no matter where we're at, no matter what we do. We can get truth. We can get concentrated orange juice. And I used to look at things like a little bit more, how should you say, strict. You know, I've kind of come to realize that sometimes a guy just needs to kind of kick back and, you know, you go on vacation a little bit. Does truth always matter? I mean, once in a while I just take a week or two off of truth and just kind of do my own thing and kind of, you know, and then I come back to truth again. You know, it's just like sort of like taking a little bit of vacation. You know, truth never takes a vacation. The righteousness of God never takes a vacation. It's part of our life, 365 days a year. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never goes on vacation. It's not like... It's not sort of like, well, it's all right to kill here, but not here, or it's all right to commit fornication here, but not here. No. Truth is truth, and so truth is right, no matter where it is. But, you know, since I have been feeding more on this, I really wonder. I mean, I have become so confused on what is truth. And so I keep seeking, and I keep trying different things. I mean, I tried the Mountain Dew, and I tried some chips, and now I'm going to the Snicker bar, but it seems like the harder I try, the more confused I get on what's truth. But, you know, when I look at those people that say, whoa, you know my neighbor? I mean, he's on his fourth wife. Unreal. And, you know, the other night the neighbor down the road murdered someone. Just unreal. I mean, I just thank God so much that I'm not like them. I mean, God must be pretty happy with me, because compared to the other people, wow. Now remember, we was comparing our lives to truth, but now we're comparing our lives to other people. So now we do that for a while, but I'm getting a little older and I'm getting a little more tired. And I think the reason why I'm tired is because the tables are too far apart. So I need to bring the tables a little closer together. Okay? This is kind of handy because, you know, I have truth here, and some of this stuff over here ain't as good, but, you know, as long as I mix it with truth, I mean, you know, it's just wonderful that, you know, I love Jesus, and it's just wonderful that I've just got this new freedom that I'm out of that bondage of what the Bible says, and I kind of just go along with what society's doing. I mean, you know, oh, now don't get me wrong, I don't stay right up with them. I mean, I try to stay about 3, 4, 5 years behind them, you know, because, you know, want to be separated from the world, you know. And so I do this for a while. But, you know, I'm getting a little older. Things just seem to, you know, they don't bother me like they once did. I guess it's just getting older. But I'm kind of getting I still find myself kind of double-minded and back and forth. And it's so frustrating because the people at this table, I don't really fit in with them. And the people at this table, I don't really fit in with them. I guess I'm just an outcast. Because I don't want to be like them, but, I mean, wow, I'm not this radical. That truth only? I mean, wow. So I get another brilliant idea that, you know, really, I'm getting kind of tired, and so there really doesn't need to be two tables. Let's just get rid of this table. And I wish, you know, I think our church could have grown a lot more if years ago we'd have just done this, you know. Just kind of get rid of that. So now we just kind of mix it together. We bring it all to church and we just kind of worship, and doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you obey God's word or not. I mean, and you know, I want to be careful here because, you know, boy, when I was raised, I was told Jesus is the only way. I mean, it was radical. I mean, it was like that was the only way. And you know, I've almost started to wonder a little bit, is Jesus the only way? You know, because I got a lot of friends that they have a lot of good works. Some time ago, I was having a Bible study at a nursing home, and this guy invited that I was having Bible study with and guided some other people, and so we were talking about how Jesus Christ is the only way. And when I got done speaking, one of the ladies there, she wasn't real old. I mean, she was older, but not as old as some of them. She spoke up at the end and she said, I didn't appreciate what you said. She said, I didn't appreciate that you said that Jesus is the only way. So should I have said, well, oh, sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, my mom and dad were good people. And they didn't believe that way, but they were good people, and they did the best that they could. I said, well, ma'am, I said, I didn't know your parents. And I said, I can guarantee, I know that your parents are in the hands of a just God, and he will deal rightly with them. But you know what she was saying? My parents didn't believe that way. And don't you tell me for a moment that they didn't make it. That's what she was saying. But see, as I start to lay aside truths from God's word, one truth at a time, I get to the point to where, man, I don't know. I mean, that's how they see it. That's how I see it. I mean, I think Jesus is the only way. When President Obama was put in for his second term of office, the man who prayed said this in his prayer. He said, and in the name of our God, and for me that's Jesus Christ, amen. That's how it's politically correct. Jesus Christ is not the only God. It's my God, but your God can be whoever you want it to be. And in the name of our God, and for me, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. For you, it may be somebody else. But for me, so now with having diluted the truth, I'm really confused. And it's becoming more and more confused because now I'm having questions about all these different things. It used to bother me, like if I told a lie and cheated on my taxes a little bit, but you know the government's so wasted with they just waste their money and they use it for abortion and all this and that. So, I mean, I know Jesus said we should pay our taxes, but you know we all a double-minded man. Well, this works for a while, but then I get one last brilliant idea. And that last brilliant idea is we don't need two plates. Let's just mix it all together. Whatever the world says, whatever you want to believe, go for it. We're all going to the same place. We're all going, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. Every time I go to a viewing, they're in a better place. Every time, they're in a better place. I know of a man who died who I had tried to reach out to him for the Lord, and he had no clue of what a relationship with God was. But in the bulletin at his church, it said he was washed into righteousness by baptism. He had no clue. I had shared with him, and he said, I have my own religion. Ask you a question tonight. Do you ever find yourself wondering what is truth? I am convinced more and more that it's not because it's more tough today to decide what truth is and what it isn't, but I am convinced more and more it's because we are losing our appetite for truth. Because we're feeding on half-truths. And I said there ain't half-truths, but you get my point, right? And so we're just... I'm going to show you what the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world is. It is two different plates. It is two different kingdoms. And regardless of how much I say I can mix them, it makes no difference. Because in the end, what God's Word says is going to be truth. God's Word is truth. We're not going to be compared to other people. There may be some things that other people can do and make it to heaven that you can't. But what is truth? Are we worried when it comes to truth? See, when I love God, David said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation every day and night." You see, when I love God with all my heart and I love His Word, my question isn't, well, how come they can do that and make it to heaven? But my concern should be, is that all right if they do that? Or should I tell them that I understand the Word of God different? Does that make sense? Instead of saying, well, if they can do that and then I can get to heaven, then why can't I? But see, when we love God, we say, oh, Lord, I never seen that before. That's what your word says? Father, forgive me. Thank you so much for showing me that. I want to know truth. And so when I want to know truth, I always go to truth. Does that make sense tonight? This means yes. This means no. Yes. So Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pause for prayer. Father, tonight, thank you for brothers and sisters who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, holiness. God, I pray for every soul that is here tonight. I pray that wherever we are at in our walk with you, Lord, I pray that we would always choose to go to truth. There's a lot of shadiness. There's a lot of gray. And Father, help us to remember that whenever there is gray, it is because it's not pure light. Help us not to drink loads of Mountain Dew in that spiritual sense to try to get a little bit of orange juice. But Lord, help us to love the truth. Lord, give us a hunger after truth. Help us to realize, Lord, that the more that we feed on truth, the less our appetite is for the untruth. And also, vice versa, when we feed on untruth, our love for truth wanes and it goes away. And we become confused and we don't know. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. I am thrilled that you have said that your word will not change. You have told us what we are going to be judged by. You have told us what you want us to do. Whether you come tonight or in 100 years, I will be judged by your word. Thank you for being so honest with us and so upfront. Thank you that you're not going to change it on us. And that when we died, we were in, but you changed it after we died. No, Lord, you're not going to do that. I thank you for truth tonight. Forgive me for when I have not loved truth enough. Forgive me for when it was easier to move the table together than to love truth. It's easier. It's less costly. Father, just help us tonight as we go through the rest of the evening. I just thank you and I praise you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray.